Okay, well, we're going to spend a little time in God's Word. And to begin with, I have a question for everybody. And if I could get a show of hands of those who would like to, wants this, which I'm going to ask. And that is, who here really enjoys getting lied to? Or somebody, you know, tells you something that's deceiving, misleading. We got one taker here.
Mary and Zimata tell me I'm a good-looking guy, and I know they're lying to me, but it feels good.
That's funny. Other than Rich. Other than Rich, I don't think anybody likes to get lied to.
Me and Mary have right? good taste.
You know, it feels horrible when you get misled. Perhaps you believe some words, you try them out, and you find yourself in a spot you don't want to be. And then you realize you've been duped, you've been lied to, you've been misled. So I don't know. You know, it's not an enjoyable thing, generally. Let's go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I remember about 20, 25 years ago, I was taking the kids to the Yankee Stadium to watch the Yankees play. And I don't think I had been there for many years before. And it was before GPS was available. And I had my map, and I got into New York City and immediately got lost. So I pull into this gas station, and I knew I was close to Yankee Stadium, but I didn't know how to get there. So I go, hey, can you direct me to how to get back on the road for Yankee Stadium? He goes, sure, but it's going to cost you $5. I said, you're going to charge me $5 just to tell me how to get back on the road? He goes, yeah. I go, all right. And he goes, all right, I'll tell you what. You go out, make a right and left and this and that. So I follow it, and about 3 minutes later, it brings me right back to the same gas station. So I pull up, the guy standing right there like as if he'd been waiting for me. And he goes, okay, you ready to pay $5 now? Really? I don't remember what I did, but I did get to Yankee Stadium. But, you know, it didn't feel good. Plus, I was already a little late. So, but what we want in life, I'm sure, are words that are reliable, words that are true, words that are not misleading, words that have no deceit in them. We want true words, generally, except for Rich. He'd take the true words if he could, I'm sure. But anyway, we want truth. And there is a source of truth that is available on this earth, and it comes from God. There are lots of sources of not reliable words out there, and I think we probably all have tried some of them. But in John chapter 17, a great scripture, verse 17, this is Jesus Christ praying to God, and he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus Christ referred to God's word as truth. I would take his word for it. If you believe in Jesus Christ, I would take his word for it. The word true, I have a definition here someplace. I don't know. The word true basically means to be real, actual, genuine, with unconcealed appearance. Like, for instance, sometimes with furniture, it's supposed to look like wood, but it's not wood. It's not genuine wood. It's concealed. Its real identity has been concealed, especially when it's laminated, and they try to say it's solid wood, but it's really not. It's laminated. But true words are genuine. They're actual. Let's go to Psalm 119. True words, the opposite of that which is false. Psalm 119. the opposite of that which is false. So Jesus Christ said that thy word is truth, referring to the word of God. God's word is true, absolutely true. And in Psalm 119, verse 142, it says,
what verse?
142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. This is referring to the Old Testament law. The psalmist is referring to that as the truth. Let's go to Psalm 33. You don't have to travel very far in the Bible to find out that it declares itself as true, that the words of God are true words. True words being reliable, genuine, actual. They are what they are. Psalm 33, verse 4. 33. Verse 4 says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. The things that God does, the things that he has done, are in truth. They're reliable. They're true. They're genuine. Let's go to Psalm 19. I remember as a teenager endeavoring to find truth. I didn't know where it was. I was looking up. And I tried, dabbled into a lot of different things in life. Where people were saying, hey, you know, the truth is here, the truth is there. And I was misled a lot of different times. I had one aspect in my life that kind of kept me out of a lot of trouble. I had the ability to sort of see the people that were in it longer than I had, and if they looked really beat up and troublesome, I'd say, all right, whatever it is they're doing, I don't want it. That's why I never eat beans. No. And then one day a person started telling me about God's word, and I said, holy smokes, I'm shocked, but the Bible is the truth. And I started learning it, applying it, and I found those words were reliable, genuine words. Psalm 19, speaking of itself, about God's word, verse 9 says, the fear or the respect of the Lord is clean or cleansing, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned or instructed, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's go to Psalm 25. So it refers to his word and his actions, his works as true. Psalm 25, verse 4 says, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Verse 10, most of the paths of the Lord. Now, all the paths. So that means every path that God would have us to go down are of the Lord. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. There's never a road that God will lead you down that you wish you didn't go down. He never dumps us in the gutter. He never ends us up in the river. And with concrete shoes. those roads aren't his roads, and he'll never, ever lead us down those roads. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. So God is true, his word is true, his actions are true. What God says is true. I don't know of any other thing on earth that can say all that. I mean, as much as there are great things on earth, none of them are where everything about it is totally true. But God is, his word is. There's a great benefit to having truth, and in John chapter 8, verse 32, is Jesus Christ speaking, and it's just a marvelous scripture. It says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
Truth can bring freedom. As we apply truth in our lives, it brings a freedom. Now, why can it bring a freedom? Because they're reliable words. You ever do something that somebody says and they're totally wrong, and you do it and you end up totally messed up? Well, God's word being true, as we apply those words, it brings a freedom. It brings a wholeness. It brings us a salvation, a cleansing. Which is why I'm still here, because I started trying it 40 some years ago, and I kept trying it, and it kept working, and I've never given up. Why give up a good thing, right? So, what a benefit that as we apply these words of truth, it brings us a freedom. It brings us a freedom in life that you can't get anywhere else. And what I really like about it is free. Doesn't cost you a penny. Let's go back to Psalm 119. If we place our beliefs on words that really are not true, eventually we'll falter, whatever they may be. Eventually they'll falter. So we want to be choosy as to what we believe. And the Word of God says it's worth believing. Psalm 119, and we're going to go to verse 65. It says, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word." Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. So basically what the psalmist is saying is, God, you have treated me like your word says you would treat me. You know, that's a pretty good statement. That's a pretty good track record. You know, how many relationships have we been involved with, perhaps, where we weren't treated as we were spoken like we were going to treat it? But with God, he always treats us as he says he will in his word. Doesn't get any better than that. "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word." Verse 66, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." I have believed thy commandments. And that leads me to the next thing. When we do hear truth, what should be our reaction to hearing that truth? Well, this says part of it right here. "I believed thy commandments." What we want to do when we hear truth is we want to accept them and believe them to the end that we, you know, carry them out. We utilize them. As opposed to rejecting them and not believing them. When we hear truth and we say, "I don't want that," that's not a good rejection. You know, how many people did the Lord Jesus Christ speak the word to and they said, "Nah, I don't want that"? A lot of people. Truth is truth, no matter who's speaking it, whether it's a little fella. Holden can't speak truth yet, but someday he will. Out of a little young baby, a little young child, or out of a very wise old sage, it's still truth is truth. But can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to you face to face and you say, "Eh, I don't know if I want to do that"? Seems ridiculous, but So we don't want to put ourselves in a position that we don't believe what God's Word says. We want to believe it. we're going to go back to well, we're here, but we're going to move around Psalm 119 a little bit more here. Psalm 119, verse 30. We want to accept God's Word and we want to believe it. Psalm 119, verse 30. Let's look at a few verses that indicate that. It says, I have chosen the way of truth. That's a decision, a good decision to make. I have chosen the way of truth. That's a great decision. If anybody likes to make New Year resolutions, that's always a good one to throw in there. this year I'm choosing truth. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I have laid before me. That's, you know, he's thinking of them, mulling them over in his head. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. He's going to run with the word. He's going to run with those who are walking the word. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Boy, what a person. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Let's go to verse 9. Same psalm. Verse 9. This is a great question. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How's a young man going to clean up his act, basically? How's he going to do it? How does a young man cleanse his way? And here is the answer right afterwards. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's the answer. If a person wants to correct their life, to clean up their act, so to speak, it's to go the way of the word, to go the way of truth. And that will do the job. Let's look at verse 97. You don't have to go very far in the Psalm 119 to see the great heart and love that David had for God and his word. Verse 97 says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. He was making some big decisions there. He kept himself from evil so that he can keep the word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You know, false things aren't fun. They may look good, they may be real shiny and sugary looking and enticing and like, oh yeah, this is wonderful. But they're false ways. And when you know truth, you can see it right in front of you. Boy, that's not a good one. You know, the scriptures, and we get understanding from it. So we are able to stay out of paths that aren't too good for us. And they were sweet words to David. It was an enjoyable way of living. Let's go to Book of Acts, chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, chapter 2. So when we hear God's word, what we want to do is to accept it, to believe it, to endeavor to live it to the best of our ability. We don't want to reject it. We don't want to say, I don't want that. We want to hear it and believe it. In Acts chapter 2 is the day of, records about the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church. It's the outpouring, first outpouring of the gift of Holy Spirit made available to people where they can get born again. And they were in the temple, and the people that were in the temple at the time heard them speak in tongues. The 12 apostles spoke in tongues for the first time. They heard them, and they were wondering what the heck is going on. And you know, they're hearing them. It says that they spoke to the wonderful works of God, and they were wondering what the heck is going on here. So Peter stands up with the other apostles and starts speaking about God's word concerning what had just happened. And he goes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he goes through a bunch of different scriptures. And at the end, he, in verse 37, it says, "Now when they heard this," they heard all these things that he taught, "they were pricked in their heart." It's like pierced. "Pierced in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized." Repent just means change your mind. It's not a religious action that you go someplace and you repent. Repent is just a word for change your mind. You ever have to do that? We require that kids all the time, change your mind. But that's all the word repent means, just to change your mind to a different direction. Repent, because where they were going, these were the people he's speaking to. Some of those people were the ones who had the Lord Jesus Christ killed, and he tells them that. And their idea who Jesus Christ was in error. They didn't accept him as the Son of God, as the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, change your mind. He was the chosen Christ. He was resurrected from the dead. You guys got to change your mind on this. And that's what he means by repent. Change your mind on this. Accept the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and move to what God is just starting to make available. So that's what it means. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. And look at the next verse. Now this is how we should be when we hear truth. They just got a whole bunch of truth thrown at them. And it says, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They heard that word and they gladly received it. It's like, Yahoo! This is good. And they got born again. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And had a wonderful day. Let's go to chapter 4 of Acts. Peter and John were not too far off of the day of Pentecost, were going to the temple, and they healed a man who couldn't walk for his entire life. He was about 40 years old, had never walked. And they ministered healing to him in the name of Jesus Christ. The guy gets up. He's jumping up and down. He's joyful. And again, people are looking like, what is going on here? We know this guy. He's been unable to walk. He's never gone through a pair of shoes yet. You know, he never could walk. And now he's jumping up and down like a bunny rabbit. And they are curious, what the heck is going on? So he tells them what had happened. And you can read all that, but in verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, "And as they spake," referring to Peter, "unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." That's not a good reaction. They heard what those people heard, and they were like, dang it. So they tried to apprehend him, and they laid hands on them and put them in a hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Those people heard it and believed, and great things happened. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. When we hear truth, we want to believe it. These people did. When we hear truth, we want to believe it. Because they're true words. They're reliable. They're genuine. They're actual. They are what they are. And God treats us the way He says He will treat us. All the time. When He says He will comfort us, if we allow God to comfort our heart when we have a need for comfort, He is the comforter of all comfort. There is no getting away. When God's after your soul to comfort you and you allow Him, you've been comforted. You can't walk out of that saying, you know, He did a lousy job this time. He must have been a little busy. I didn't even feel loved. He always comforts when you allow Him. Always. When you go to Him to get rid of fear, half the time He does it. He does what He says He's going to do. He does what He says He's going to do. Chapter 17, verse 32. This is Paul. I taught the word on Mars Hill in Athens. Susan and I were there last December, sitting on the very, standing on the very rock that he taught. And he speaks, and here's the reaction. Verse 32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. They said, ah, that guy's really a lunatic. Some mocked him. And others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. We'll talk again. So Paul left. He departed from them, and howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed. Among the which was that person and the other person, and a woman named, and others with them. But there were certain people who believed and clave unto those words. That's where we want to be. We want to be believing those words because they are true words. They're true whether we believe them or not. God's moving along whether we're moving with them or not. But we want to move with God, with His truth. And lastly, we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. God's words are true. They're reliable. And we should, when we hear them, we should believe them. And verse 13 says, verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that what?
Believe.
The word of God will work, and it works when we believe it. It won't work for us when we don't believe it, because God has chosen the way He's chosen to work with man, woman, kids, and animals, with people, is free will. He will never force us to do something. He doesn't run us around like a robot. He doesn't force us. We have to choose it and then believe. You know, it's a free will action. We're not robots for God. We can be robust for God, but not a robot. But so it works effectually also in those that believe. In Hebrews it says it didn't profit certain people because it was mixed. They were mixed with unbelief. They didn't believe the truth of God's word. That even happened with people in Jesus Christ's own hometown. It says he went to his own hometown. And says not he wasn't able to do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Not because of his inability to teach, because of their unbelief. So when we hear truth, we just want to say, I like that. I'm going for it. And then we put the judgment, we put it before our faces. It says in some, we look at it, we think about it, we hide it in our heart, and great things happen. And continue to happen. And this is supposed to be our reaction, whether it's the first time we ever hear truth, or the 10,000th, or 10,000th, or the first billionth. Now, every time we hear truth, it should be that type of, I want that, and I'm going to believe it, and I am walking on it. every single time. Because truth never loses its edge. It doesn't get weaker, you know, like certain products as it gets older doesn't have the same potency. It doesn't work that way with truth. Truth is always going to be 100%. So truth is a great thing to hear, great thing to believe, great thing to cleave onto. And it does bring a freedom in our lives that that we can enjoy. So.